Then agenda item three, we have an asterisk as it being on the consent calendar, but I did have some questions myself. I don't know if any of the other board members did. No? Gary?
Well, I was a little confused. Is this for all of the consent items or just?
Just today.
Just today?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I think the point is we're taking it off of consent because of the questions.
Right.
Right.
And who on our staff?
Chris Adair is available to answer questions. We do have two cards thus far, both from representatives from Caltrans. I understood that someone else was interested in addressing this issue, but these are the only cards I have. So in the meantime, oh, here we go. Chris Adair is available to answer questions.
Okay. When I read through the staff report and then the other material, the question I had was whether staff felt that you developed some meeting of the minds with Caltrans, that they were aware of what our concerns were and issues were, and that whatever lapse or breakdown had occurred with this project is something that's not going to happen again.
I spoke at length with my counterpart at Caltrans, and he and I, yes, I think we came to a pretty good meeting of the minds. You saw our cover letter, and that basically was we were trying to say that we will talk to Caltrans, they will talk to us before we go to enforcement.
I did see our cover letter, but you know, I didn't see anything from Caltrans, and you know, because it's a settlement, you know, nothing really has to be put out there, I guess. But I wanted some assurance that there was some acknowledgement that things could be done better with projects like that. Because they're the ones that are going to be putting on these training sessions.
Yes.
And the first thought I had is, are they competent enough to do that?
I believe they are. Of course, we have kind of a quality control that we intend to kind of apply to the process. In other words, we'll see what they intend to put on and review it. And then my thought is that stormwater staff will probably participate, well, not participate, but be at least one of the workshops per year as kind of quality control. But everything needs to be approved by the executive officer before it actually happens.
Do they have specific staff that would put these training sessions on?
Why don't we, Greg Albright, their district director, is here. Can I ask him to come up? And
is it permanent?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, Greg Albright, district director, and I have Jennifer O'Neill, who can answer in quite a bit of detail some of these questions. I think the negotiated stipulation that we put together is actually a strong, positive win-win in a way. I think we developed a understanding and a partnership that will strengthen our work in the future. I'll stay with the general stuff and let Jennifer talk to the specifics, but are we committed to the most productive training? And absolutely. In fact, I'm very confident as we have rolled out, and I think your staff would agree that we have some of the best strategies in the state ready to go out there. So, Jennifer, why don't you come up? If you want to go delve further into this, I would ask that. Or what's your pleasure?
I just, you know, I remember the hearing. It was in Santa Barbara, and I remember, you know, it was complex. There was a lot of testimony. I remember the photos of the silt-laden, you know, water in the runoff mm-hmm. being discharged, and I know that there were some issues with the swamp and then the state permit and what have you. And I just want to make sure that that type of situation doesn't happen again. That's really my concern, and that there aren't excuses that, you know, are going to be brought to bear. It seemed like we had either misunderstandings or excuses.
I think I'd like to say that there was probably a level of misunderstanding, and we had to get to a point where we were understanding the rules. I think your staff would be best prepared to tell you whether they have confidence in us rather than me telling you they have confidence in us. We're prepared to do what's right, and we have we took this very serious when this came about, and we've been exploring our own processes very carefully, and we've raised it up to the state level throughout Caltrans and have had very high-level discussions about how best to work this out. I want my entire system to be transparent to you. And we could talk about the level of training and the amount of investment financially we're going to make in that training through consultants primarily. And we are intended to take this very serious. So as a district director and representing my director, stormwater is something that we want to be at the top of the game on. So in the context of will you ever see neglect, I hope not. I think we've tried to put in enough checks and balances, as long as we all understand what rules we're working under and that sort of thing. And actually, I've been very impressed with your staff's desire to sit down and work through all these so they all we all have common understanding. I don't think we did originally. I think we were missing at points as far as how we understood the issues. And what I've seen is a desire to create a partnership here. So I commit, and I've already committed a lot of resources to this, to say, okay, let's make it transparent. Let's get an agreement on how we're going to handle this and hold us accountable. And I think that's the kind of relationship we started to build with your staff. I see it as a partnership. Again, if you want more specifics, I think either my staff, Jennifer, or your staff can give you more details as far as what that's going to look like. You will drive the training program as far as approving what's in there and what's said.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a specific question, and your staff can answer it, but the settlement is fine with me. I don't really have a problem with that, so I don't want you to think that I'm trying to drive around this. But I just want to feel comfortable that you guys have identified some things in your procedures or process in hindsight that you could do better that would prevent this from happening in the future.
Yeah, let me just hit that. I've made it very clear because I was not pleased with how things had evolved. I made it very clear that throughout my organization, whether we're talking construction or maintenance, any part of my organization, this is now front burner stuff. So as a district director, everybody knows this has to be done. It has to be squeaky clean, and the process is there. I think we have changed our behavior significantly, if you want to add anything, Jennifer.
The only thing that I would add is more related, I think, to maybe what you're kind of concerned with. Would we have that type of a problem in that area again? And I'd have to say no. One of the things that we learned from it is that our specifications for administering contracts can be kind of challenging and complicated as far as the language is. And what we've done is we've made a process to where our resident engineers are very well aware now of the so-called hammers that we have to get the contractors to toe the line sooner rather than later. And at the time of that project, it was really at the beginning stages for us and ever having to kind of go up against that. And I think now our construction staff has had significant training on the tools that are within the contract to ensure that we have permit compliance. Another item that we've been doing is we do have some other big construction projects planned in that area. And one of the big problems on that site specifically is that the grain size of the material is really small. It's alluvial deposited sediments. And so what we're doing is we have an erosion control lab up at Cal Poly, and we're actually going to be using that material in this next upcoming years of studies so that we have a very good handle on what we need to do as far as erosion control. And so we're not into that period of trying to play catch-up during the rainy season.
If I remember, it also seemed like a problem was in not even having any erosion control devices in place before the first rains hit. Is that somewhat correct?
It was somewhat correct.
Yeah.
you know, at, on the site, what we did have was we had duff placed with track walking. Now, would we ever try to go through with that again in that area starting in the rainy season? No. We've, you know, learned that that is not going to stabilize the slopes up there. We're trying to right now pin down what exactly will stabilize the slopes up there. And our specifications will be written tighter for that area. And we're talking about putting some mechanisms into the new coming contracts in there that will place more responsibility on the contractor to ensure that the erosion control actually takes. And we were kind of in a catch-up position on that project, which could be challenging to ever dig yourself out of once it starts.
Yeah, let me add, we have, and Jennifer's been actually assigned to head this up, we are changing the way we do specifications statewide. And part of this was the lessons learned out of this process. So this has affected, and a wave has rushed through the whole state as far as how we handle our specifications and trying to be more specific on our the way we manage the consultants.
Mr. Daniels.
I know when we, well, mine's loud too. Whenever we deal with an external party with stormwater, they have to prepare their own plan and then follow their plan. And do you do that with your contractors? Do you have them prepare a plan and follow the plan, or are they supposed to just follow some guidelines you give them?
No, we have a very in-depth process for how the sweet peas are prepared, and through the specifications requires the contractor to develop the sweet pea per our guidelines. And the sweet pea is subject to approval by a resident engineer prior to the start of any ground-disturbing activities. And we usually go through about a 20-day review and comment period to ensure that it's in compliance. We also have a stormwater task force, which is a third-party consultant who conducts statewide compliance inspections of construction sites throughout the state. And in District 5, we've typically always every year been number one, and it's because we really do take sweet pea implementation very seriously. In that case, we had a little bit of a problem area that we think that we've addressed on most levels through specifications, extra training for personnel, and now we're very in tune to how that material reacts or with the rain or how erosion control takes on it. And we're trying to really do some forethinking on making sure that we've made the appropriate modifications to it so it, we don't have those problems in the future.
If I remember that particular issue, it seemed like one of the problems is that you were already well into the rainy season and things are not going well and you were cutting through culverts and water was... And so in doing these site inspections, do they happen before the rainy season, you know, like September, October kind of time frame?
They happen all through the year, and they are doubled in the amount of frequency during the rainy season. And we also have the opportunity, if we do have a problem project per se, that we can request additional inspections anytime we want from our third-party consultant or just assistance inspections.
But I was wondering, do you have a particular effort, as our staff does, to try and go out and inspect before the rainy season to make sure things are buttoned up?
We have the Stormwater Task Force inspects prior to the rainy season, and also a commitment that we've made in our regional work plans that's submitted to the regional board every year. The construction stormwater coordinator or myself go and personally inspect every site, and we make a punch list for things to get ready for the rainy season.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the last time we had this particular hearing, I was probably pretty critical of your operation. And I was very upset with the blatant disregard for water quality and the actions that your subcontractors did by opening up the channel to let that stormwater discharge with all the sediments in it. What really bothered me was the excuses that you and your staff gave this board for the reasons that you had to do that. Instead of contacting this agency and working with our staff prior to that time and alleviating some of those issues, and of course I understand during construction a lot of things happen, and there are events that happen that cause you to change your positions, but to repeat myself, what really bothered me during that particular hearing was the excuses that you and your staff were giving this board why you had to do that. I don't have any problems with the settlement because it's like taking from one state agency out of one pocket and putting in another. and it's all taxpayers' money no matter how you count it up. But I hopefully that it's evident by your discussion with us here today that it's probably an eye-opener for your area and your staff. And I think that you need to watch your subcontractors a lot closer and be on top of the situations. And, of course, I live in that area. I'm very familiar with that interchange and the ones that are being proposed or getting ready to start. So I will be watching those as well. But I do thank you for being here today, and I do thank you for taking the initiative to put the word down through your organization. Things will change.
Mr. Shallcross.
I was wondering if you could, it says here Caltrans without admission of liability. What does that mean?
You're a lawyer, Gary.
Well, it could mean a lot of things. That's why I'd like to know what that means. Is that illegal?
It's a settlement agreement.
It's a settlement agreement.
I plead no contest, Gary.
Okay. Well, I know legally what it means. It's just that I think based on our hearing before and Caltrans's attitude at that hearing, this sort of struck me as odd because I didn't want to think that Caltrans was saying that they didn't do anything wrong, possibly in a non-legal sense.
Well, that was kind of my concern in trying to see if they've identified things that they could do better with their process, which would satisfy my concern that this wasn't being whitewashed so much. I just want to echo something that Mr. Jeffrey said, and that is, and to sum it up, the buck stops with you guys. You can tell your engineers anything you want and your contractors anything you want, but in the end, it's going to be the two of you who, you know, we're going to look to.
Actually, it's me.
Okay. Then.
He gets paid the big
And
bucks.
That's why we have changed the way we do business.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to go to jail. Actually, I want to do the right thing because it's ethically the right thing to do.
Right.
And so we have changed.
Right. Well, the state needs to do the right thing.
That's right.
I mean, whether it's our sister agencies or not.
No,
because we can't expect the public to toe the line if our other agencies are not going to be set an example. So I'm encouraged by what both of you have said, and I look forward to getting good reports from our staff in the back, who I hope will be able to do maybe a few more inspections for this area when we have some new work being proposed, is to make sure things are fine.
And I would encourage that because I want this to be open and visible.
Good. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment on the order of suggested change. In the first paragraph, it says that Caltrans will pay $7,500 by March 15th, 2005. I don't know if you've already given us a check, but if not, I think we should change that date to April 23rd, which is what the settlement agreement says.
Didn't I see where they already paid?
I didn't see that either.
Didn't see that. Yes.
We agree.
We have not cut the check. Okay. We're prepared to.
Good. Okay. Any other questions for the folks at Caltrans? Okay, we have. Thank you very much. We have Gordon Hensley that wishes to address us.
Chairman Young, Honorable Board, I'm Gordon Hensley. I am the San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper. That's a program of environment in the public interest here in San Luis Obispo. Frankly, I'm kind of stunned by what I just heard. I think at the last hearing we got sort of the aggressive side of the passive aggressive, and today we're getting the passive side. From the tone of what you just heard, you would think, oh my gosh, this is the very first time Caltrans has ever done anything like this. In fact, there's enforcement issues with them in L.A. County, San Diego, throughout the state. They are perhaps the largest construction entity in the state. Training of their contractors, their workers, insisting on BMPs. This is the normal course of business for these people. And despite that, their horrendous record and what you went through the last time, instead of acknowledging their errors and doing something corrective about it, they've entered into litigation and fought you on this whole thing and not addressed their violations. This is just a slap on the wrist, and I'm suggesting that it's not appropriate. For you to receive staff costs only seems to fly in the face of the of other action that you have taken recently, in specifically the collegian grading violation. Where are the supplemental environmental projects for in this settlement? We'd like to see something meaningful. Frankly, I think this is probably cheaper than compliance. And I urge you to take a more aggressive stance, reject this settlement, get something better for us, something certainly better than just recovering staff time. Thank you.
Mr. Hensley, do you think that the training that they have to do over a five-year period isn't a penalty?
They're not doing that now?
No, training of other people.
I can't believe
not training of their staff.
When you search the web for BMPs, you are generally directed to the Caltrans site to look at their BMPs. I cannot believe that a contractor would contract with them and not be aware of the requirements that Caltrans insists on. So I'm not really impressed with the training, or if it's not going on now, then this really is a mess.
Well, this is training for other municipalities and agencies that need a workshop. They're workshops,
and those agencies and other entities are probably using the Caltrans standards right now.
Do you think that all of Caltrans regions can be lumped together in terms of their performance and compliance?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying let's step back and take a bigger picture here. This is not the first time that Caltrans has ever crossed this kind of violation, and I can't imagine that this region didn't contact either the state or the other regions and say, gee, what happens now? And I just can't see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief response to a couple of points that were made. We didn't enter into litigation. The board actually directed us to go back and try to resolve some of the facts and see if there were some of the facts that we could resolve, and we did that, and continued discussions to the point of arriving at a settlement. And it's in response to a question by Board Member Shallcross. It's the norm to have the language that we have in here, and as our chair said, that's probably what prompted the follow-up questions about to the director as far as making some changes so that we don't have this kind of problem in the future. And we have met several times with Caltrans and received those assurances, as you just heard, in terms of making some changes in the organization to try to make sure that we don't have these kind of problems again. And the settlement, it's not for staff costs only. The main value of the settlement is to provide additional training. We talked to our staff and said, well, what is it that we could use? We put on workshops ourselves, and we need some. We could use some help in terms of monetary-wise and staff-wise to basically leverage what we do as far as workshops, and so that's how this came about. And so this will be a big assistance in terms of providing additional training, which has to be an ongoing thing. You can't just say, well, we trained everybody and that's good for the next 20 years. It's got to be an ongoing effort as far as keeping people informed of not only the tried and true, but also new developments in the stormwater field. We do have control over the content of the workshops. And as far as the value, we didn't cost that out, but if you assume about $100 a head, and let's say the median number of attendees, that we gave a range of attendees, so not even the maximum, that comes out to about $90,000 over the term of the 5 years. If you assume $150 a head, it's $135,000 in terms of value. That seems to be comparable to similar kinds of instructional opportunities we have through the short courses for the ag program, for example, that you've heard a lot about recently. Actually, John Robertson gave me a note saying that that's $175 a person for a 15-hour course. So the numbers I gave you were in the ballpark. And I think this is a good resolution of the issues. One other point that Mr. Hensley made was, don't you look at Caltrans as a whole? And we do look at not only this district, but also it's got to be site-specific. And I'll give you an example of the other end of the spectrum. You might recall that it wasn't too long before we had the hearing on this project, the problem project, that we gave Caltrans an award, a water quality award, for the work that they did with Cuesta Grade. So we do look at things on a case-by-case basis, and we try to be fair. And we can't take enforcement action on behalf of some other region for something that happened with some other project in another part of the state. So I think it's a fair resolution. I think it'll be beneficial to our stormwater program as a whole, and I recommend that you approve it.
Okay. There's no other questions. Mr. Daniels?
I certainly sympathize with the speaker about wanting to make a case of this. And I think this was actually one of our first, maybe it was even our first stormwater fine that we were doing. And the staff, I think, didn't do as great a job at that as they probably would do today. And so there were a lot of holes in that case, I think, that were done. And if it hadn't been for that, I think I'd be pushing for getting more out of this. But I think given the relatively poor job we did of prosecuting that case, I think we're actually lucky to be getting this this settlement out of it. But,
okay. Well, what's before us is
you want a motion?
Yeah,
we need a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion carries unanimously.
No. No.
Carried. You voted no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll go to agenda item number 4.